Well, the background music is a little ominous, but this is KPTZ, your local community radio station in Port Townsend, and you are tuned into Brewocracy Now, our weekly chat with John Morrow and guests that we do every Thursday at this time here on KPTZ. Hi, John.
Hey, Tim. Hi. Happy Thursday.
Same to you. I see that you brought a familiar guest with you today.
I have. It's so much fun to have Melody Weaver here, our library director, and I think she could explain why.
Such a pleasure, John and Tim. Thanks for having me on KPTZ today. This is March, and it's my favorite month of the year because it's Reading Month. Happy Reading Month.
Happy Reading Month to everybody out there, and especially to you, Melody.
Yeah, so I'm so excited. For the last 17 years, our city council declares March is Reading Month, and then we have a book that is our community read, and the whole point of the community read is to build community through the shared experience of reading and discussing the same book. And this year, it's extra special because we have a book for teens and adults and a book for kids. And I'm excited to talk about both of those books today.
Well, now is the time.
Yeah. All right, I'll jump right in. So the first book, I wish the viewers could see me because I found a fun background where I'm at the house in the Cerulean Sea. The book is by TJ Clune, and it's in just a wonderful, uplifting, hopeful book that appeals to teens and adults. And it's about a magical, mysterious island that has these magical children that may or may not bring about the end of the world. And this pretty lonely bureaucrat needs to go check out what's going on. And then a whole bunch of really heartwarming, beautiful things happen to transform everyone's lives. So I don't want to spoil anything, but it's uplifting. And I think that's what we need right now. So that's our book for kids and teens.
Well, I think that your little thumbnail is great. And there's a bureaucrat in there also. So that's exciting.
You know, I've worked for government for, 15 plus years. So I think all of us can identify a little bit with the character of Linus Baker. And it's like, what do you do to follow the rules? And then when do you need to maybe bend the rules a little bit for the greater good of the community? I'm sure we've all had those moral questions at any of our workplaces.
I really appreciate it too. I mean, I think I'm not one to want to be surprised by someone telling me the end of a book. I really like to be surprised by reading the end of a book. And that was an artful description without giving anything away.
Thank you, John. Well, I feel like, I mean, can you believe we're 2 years into the pandemic? And so I knew when I was selecting the books this year that I would want things that were hopeful and uplifting, but also meaningful. We need things that also have good substance to them. And the other book that we are doing is Wish Tree by Catherine Applegate. It's this unbelievably charming story about a tree. The main character is Red, and she's been a wish tree for the community that immigrants started over 200 years ago. And a new family moves to the community and not everybody feels welcome. And Red, this tree, decides to kind of take a stand to create a really beautiful, welcoming community. And it's how the community comes together. And there's beautiful themes about nature and creating a welcoming community and just a lot of fun characters. And everybody at Salish Coast Elementary School is reading this book right now. And I have to say, I had the most heartwarming review at a city council meeting last week from a young reader. Thank you very much, John. Thanks, Madeline.
Yeah, no, it was Madeline's debut, I think, at City Council giving her a book review. And I have to say, she got through it pretty quickly. I just picked it up last night. And so I'm about halfway through because I thought I have read The House of the Cerulean Sea a little while ago. I have not read Wish Tree. And so I'm halfway through.
Yeah, we had to buy more copies of Wish Tree this year because so many adults wanted to read it too, which is lovely to me because now everybody really can be having a conversation together about these wonderful, delightful books. And I think trying to find silver linings, because as John knows, I'm a glass overflowing optimist. As much as I had hoped the community read would be in person this year, because I thought, oh, 2022, I'm sure we all thought this, like, of course, we'll feel comfortable being in theaters together again, 300 people meeting an author, but we're just not there yet. And so this let us cast a wider net to bring authors throughout the country to us, because I've been trying to get TJ Clune and Catherine Applegate, but they live outside of Washington and they're both really busy, well-respected authors, but they said yes to meeting on Zoom.
Oh, well, that's good news. And, what interests me is I just spoke to Megan Claflin earlier today on my regular show about the party, the PT school party, and we were talking about that topic that you brought up on a welcoming community. And it appears to me the past 2 years, especially for a child, has not seen the full breadth of that because of COVID. So this is, I think, a very timely subject, especially for the young people. As we head out of this, hopefully, it's good to read about that topic. On that subject, who picks the books? How does that work?
We have had a variety of different paths to choosing the community read. So the first year I came, I opened it up to the whole community to choose a book, and that was a lot of fun. And they chose books and they voted on it. And then after that, I heard that was really fun, but can we please have library professionals picking the book? Because it was a really important book. It was Naomi Klein's This Changes Everything, but it wasn't the most readable book. If you've read Naomi Klein, great work, but it's not a page turner. And so years after that, we had some committees who helped choose books. And then this year I chose the books because I wanted some really hopeful, wonderful books. So I have a personal investment in hoping that the community enjoys these books as much as I did.
Well, and, you know, actually, I think that was a wise decision. So we look to you as our library person and you pretty much have your pulse on this community, so I'm sure that the books that you pick are the right ones. These two certainly do seem to be the right ones for the times. How long has the community read been going on?
Yeah, so this is our 17th year, Tim. Can you believe that? It's just really incredible. And that community reads actually happen throughout the country. They might be called One Book. They have a variety of different names. They were inspired by Nancy Pearl, you know, the famous America's librarian when she worked for Seattle Public Library. She wanted to build community through reading because she's a book lover. And so she came up with this, wow, what if everyone reads the same book? And it doesn't mean that everyone reads and loves the same book as much as I'd love that. But it's that people are reading the same book and discussing them, because there is this instant connection when you happen to, you know, be walking down the street and you see somebody reading a book in a park, or you walk in a coffee shop and somebody's reading the same book and you're like, wow, we've gone through this journey together. Like, how exciting that this person knows these characters. I want to hear their thoughts. And Nancy Pearl would tell you, no two readers read the same book. So that's also what's really powerful. So we all could be reading these books and have totally different interpretations about them. So Port Townsend brought this to us 17 years ago, and our friends of the library and our library foundation are the ones who make this possible. So the library foundation has provided over 1,000 books for us, all bought through imprint. So it's also a really wonderful way for us to keep our dollars local. And then the friends of the library pay for the programming.
Oh, I'm loving this more and more. Little details that I didn't know. So I love the quote, no two readers read the same book. So we all read this book. John read the book. Madeline read the book faster than John, I'm sorry to say. How do we get together and discuss these books now, given the parameters that we're operating under?
I know, pre-pandemic, we used to meet in churches and bars and parks and coffee shops, and now we're meeting in a virtual meeting room. So we have Book Lovers Cafe coming up on Monday the 7th at 2 p.m., and you can join via Zoom through the library's website. And then on the 24th of March at 7 p.m., we're going to have Kimberly Gorman, the executive director of Jumping Mouse, leading a discussion on House in the Cerulean Sea. We also have, because we have so many books throughout the community and book club kits, community members can come and check out the books. We have discussion guides, and they can set up their own discussions, hopefully in a safe way, maybe meeting outside or coming to the library and using our free Zoom hosting. We have that for community groups too. So this is a nice way, at least for everybody who has good internet access, to be able to join in and discuss the books from home.
And Tim, I have to say that these conversations can be, you know, possibly delayed till when we can actually be more physically present, like Melody's saying. But I mean, the hook for me, this is my fourth community read. I know I've only been here for just over 2 years, but it's my fourth community read because Melody handed me Piano Tide when I was interviewing for this job. And I took it back to New Zealand and I read it before I even got off the plane, I think. And it was a really great way to connect to Port Townsend and a conversation that was happening before I even got here. And so there's this way that you can kind of bend space and time in this fantastical way to be part of a conversation, whether it's right now after you read it or eventually.
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a great way to speak to somebody that you don't know, that you, the only connection you have to that person is that book that you both read. I think it's, you know, I love this time of year. I've really always been impressed with the community read and all the work that goes into it, because it may sound simple, but I'm sure it's not.
Yeah. Oh, it absolutely takes a village, and a huge shout out to the amazing team at the library, because we really take at least a good solid 6 months to plan this program, to schedule the authors. I mean, we're already thinking of Community Read 2023 now, because it does take a lot of time to make sure that you're getting the authors. And I think what's exciting is that we will have Catherine Applegate here via Zoom on St. Patrick's Day, March 17th. What a lucky, wonderful way to spend your evening. That's fun for all ages. And then we'll have TJ Klune on March 31st. We typically always end the Community Read with the Meet the Author event. So we have two this year. And the way we're kicking off all the events is a wonderful collaboration with the film festival. So we're showing the film Boy by Taiki Waititi. And that film was shown at the film festival years ago. And now he's like a major player in Hollywood, but Boy was one of his indie films. So people will get to watch that for free at the in person at the Rose this Saturday at 1 p.m. They can get tickets through the library website or come into the library in person. And then we're also streaming this movie through the film festival streaming platform also for free. So cool way to pull people together early on.
Oh, I like it. John, you looked like you were familiar with that movie. Have you seen it?
I have. And I think Taika Waititi is New Zealander. So he's, you know, a Kiwi. I think we also share almost the same birthday too. So literally in the same year. So, you know, you kind of wonder, what have you done with your life? If this guy's like, you know, an international legend already, I guess I'm comfortable with that, but it's great to have near and far be brought here to Port Townsend, including those that, you know, are in Hollywood making amazing movies like Boy.
Well, you are an intercity legend, John Morrow, for better or for worse.
That's what I was going to say. Waititi is not a city manager, John.
That's true. That's true. No, I'm not feeling bad about myself. I'm just saying, like, it's pretty extraordinary that we can blend all of this into our community read. And I think, you know, Tim, one of the things that's clear in talking with Melody is, you know, there's a backstory to these stories and a lot of planning and, you know, really dedicated staff and community members, the story of the friends, the story of the foundation, the story of imprint, the story of how our community comes together to facilitate a conversation. It's really just awesome. And if you need hope right now, like that's a really good case study.
Yes. And, you know, there's been a lot going on in this city, but having our librarian, our chief librarian on the screen right now, I have to ask this question. What's the hot book right now? Is there one or a genre?
Oh, well, it's the house in the Cerulean Sea.
Yeah, but yeah, besides the community yes. read, I mean, hey, what has been...
In addition to that, Tim, I would say there's a lot of renewed interest around Dune by Frank Herbert, of course, because the new movie, which is a much improved upon film adaptation than what was in the past. So a lot of people are rereading Dune, which is quite the tome. And, you know, we know that Frank Herbert wrote Dune in Port Townsend, came to the library, did library talks back in the 70s, taught classes for Centrum. How amazing is that? So that has been a book that I've talked to people a lot about recently. And I will be rereading Dune too. I don't think I've read it since I was a teen.
Yeah, I'm in that same boat. I may be in that line for that book also.
Get in line now, Tim. I think we probably have like 50 holds on that book, which is a lot for our library.
Yeah.
For sure. But you know what I would say too, and one of the reasons why I picked these books that are urban fantasy and have magical realism is that, you know, 2 years into the pandemic, again, people aren't traveling as much. I think we all need a little bit of escapism. And I really just love to talk about the power of reading fiction and fantasy and how incredible that is for building empathy, for finding wonderful escapism. I often hear people tell me like, oh, I'm so busy. I just don't have time to read fiction. And I just tell people, like, you really can't afford not to read fiction. It's so good for you. It's also, it helps relieve stress. It can put your mind in a trance-like state, similar to meditation. And I'm such a believer in the power of reading fiction. So this is your permission slip from your library director. It is time spent well when you read fiction. And our friends at the library wrote a great article in their new newsletter, which will be all over town, and it's on their website. Lynn Nowak, a retired journalist, wrote the article about the power of reading fiction. So I hope you all will delve into that too.
Yes.
Excellent advice. Fiction, especially in difficult times, puts us in a different place, and we sometimes need to be in that different place. I'm going to move to one. I have to ask it just because there's been a lot of talk in different areas of the country of book bannings. Have you had any feedback in that direction here in your role as a librarian?
Oh yeah, absolutely, Tim. It's something that John and I have had many conversations about, how it keeps me up at night, because this is a time to really help our community understand what intellectual freedom means and First Amendment rights, and how important it is that the library represents all viewpoints without any kind of censorship. You know, I like to joke that a great library collection has something that offends everybody in the community. That way we really are representing all viewpoints. We certainly have people who come to us and have concerns about different library materials that for a variety of content reasons, you know, it could be anything from the themes to who the author was, past or present. And we just try to use it as a good teaching moment to talk to our community about what intellectual freedom means and what libraries stand for. And I think it's really important that people understand libraries as trusted spaces, and we're not going to lean too heavy on one viewpoint or another, so that people know we are one of those last places that we're not pushing an agenda on our community, but we are standing for how important it is to have access. Because I don't want to ever tell somebody what they should or shouldn't read. Nobody, I think, has that right. But I want to respect people's rights to be able to access that content and make good choices for themselves and for their children. I think that's where it comes up a lot with intellectual freedom, is out of a very real concern for parents being concerned what their kids have. And that's when we talk about how important it is for the parent to make the right choice for their family.
You know, and John Morrow, and if you're just joining us, John Morrow, Port Townsend City Manager, and Melody Sky Weaver. Is that correct? Weaver.
Yep, that's my new married name, formerly known as Eisler. Call me both. It's all good.
Okay. Weaver, that was new to me, frankly, so it didn't roll off the tongue. You know, John, you are over a lot of departments in the city, and, you know, they're public works, and very few that are without any kind of controversy. But it seems that the library system is so unique in that it is way different. It's way different. I don't know if I really have a question here. It's just it seems like a unique institution for a city to have.
We're the most fun, right?
No, exactly. That's easy to say.
So just like all my fellow department heads.
Yeah, I was going to say, I look forward to having all department heads back on, which I've had them on before, to talk about why their work in particular is different or special, because it's true across the board, right? But I think you raise a really good point, Tim, and I'll take the bait very eagerly and say, you know, a couple things about the library to me, aside from being pretty much the first thing I did in Port Townsend, is go get my library card. You know, I truly believe in access and creative and you know, intellectual freedom, and the ability to all learn how to be more critically thinking, self-empowered people, and a community that, you know, prides ourselves on that kind of intellectual diversity. I really truly love it to my core. And then to come into a place where the library is a treasured place for so many people of so many different kinds of backgrounds. It's special as a convening space. And one might say the same thing about the pool or about parks or trails, and equally so. But I think during the pandemic, when we've had to try new things, the library has really hit it out of the park trying new things. We've virtualized a lot of things. We've kept service running. We've kept circulating. We kept doing virtual programs. We innovated in ways that I don't think we would have normally. And so in terms of a happy story of adapting, of trying to meet the community where they are, and give not just through connection with the library staff, who are all awesome, but through the services that people need now. It's just been really kind of a life raft. So, you know, that's one, at least one reason why I think the library is special. And of course, there is no other library director like Melody. So that, we have that feather in our cap too.
You know, that rare extroverted librarian. I'm the one who gets shushed if you guys ever come to the library.
That turns the tables, doesn't it? I love it, actually. Well, Melody, it's been wonderful speaking with you about the Community Read. This is the fun part of the city. You're absolutely right. You're always out front and so fun to talk to. I love hearing your viewpoints and hearing about the things that come through the library that we may not even know about. We only have 5 minutes left on bureaucracy now. So many things have gone on in this past week. Mr. John Morrow, you can take your pick. I think we would be remiss not to, I'll just leave it at that. You can take your pick about a topic that you think needs to be thought about during this next week, or you have an opinion about, or you want to put out there to the listening public.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I think maybe just to clean up the conversation, not clean up, but to continue or to put an exclamation mark on the library conversation. It's very easy to pivot from books and materials and intellectual freedom to a lot of other things that the city does. And so, you know, I know that we've said this via Facebook and, you know, overtly at city council meetings, but the I am really blessed to be working with department directors and city staff, but I spend a lot more time, fortunately for me and maybe unfortunately for them, with department directors. And, you know, we're just whacking down the silos. And the library is no different. In fact, really a catalyst in that, where, you know, what's the intersection between parks and open space and library? You know, well, that's the Katai Story Walk. You know, what's the intersection between the city story and the library story? Well, there's a new program brewing about how we tell our story as a city. You know, what's the difference between, you know, mental or physical health and well-being? You know, so there's just all these really great synergies that the library can kind of come alongside and help break down those silos. And Melody and her team have been really fantastic at that. And I think that's what the public deserves or probably expects, is that the city isn't just one thing. It's a collection of different things, and we're all working really well in harmony together. You can pick an issue and I could draw probably a straight line to library and to Melody. I think this week though, you know, there's quite a bit going on. Maybe I'll just highlight something happening tomorrow that we're continually trying to do. And it's kind of in line with storytelling, because we're doing, another set of, tours, for incoming city council members. And in fact, one of them is going to have four city council members. And if you're a follower of Open Public Meetings Act regulation, you know that that means we have to advertise that as an official public meeting because there's a majority of council members. So that's actually happening tomorrow afternoon at Mountain View campus, because we're giving particularly new city council members a tour of the Mountain View campus and the facilities, the pool, the parks, the police department, et cetera. And so to me, that's a way of making sure that, you know, we continually inform our decision makers about how the systems and the operations really work. And they are able to incorporate that into their policymaking, decision-making across the entire city. So that's really exciting. Right after that, we're doing the same thing at the port, because just like the library works across all departments, you know, the city works across multiple agencies. And so I'm really grateful that Aaron Berg at the Port of Port Townsend, and I believe Pam Petronic, the commissioner, and I think the president of the board there now, are leading a tour for incoming city council members just after that of the port. And I'll be jumping on to that one myself. And, you know, what a great way of showing not just how things work at the port, but the intersections between the city's responsibilities and what we do and what our sister agency, the Port of Port Townsend, does. I'm honored to be able to spend a lot of time with Aaron. I think I think I'll see him literally in person every day this week. That's how we work together. And it's just a lot of fun to see how things work. So I'd say to the community, wait for it. You know, some of those opportunities are there right now for you, but we want to do more of that, particularly on the other side of this pandemic. So you can come and get a tour, understand how things work, participate, maybe get excited about how the city works.
So just to be clear, the city council members are getting a tour of the Mountain View campus, but it's open to the public?
I believe it is, because it is a quorum. Uh-huh. So that means anybody, we advertise it on our webpage, cityofpt.us, and you can go on the public meetings. And, you know, any member of the public can come along too. You know, that's okay. How it works.
Well, I might just have to show up. You know, one of the things I'm going to miss when we move from here is the magnificent Mountain View Cougar. And maybe I can talk them into letting me take it with us to our new spot, where it's highly unlikely.
You might have to negotiate with the school district, because we're actually missing Mountain View from the school district.
All right. Well, thank you so much, John Morrow and Melody Sky Weaver. Always fun. And until next time.
Thanks, Tim.
Okay, thank you
so much.
Okay. Thanks, Melody.
Bye now.